Hello, producer Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You were telling me something pretty exciting, and I thought it would be an interesting thing to tell the listeners who are listening right now.
Yes. The news is, if you actually don't want to hear from me again in this context with ads, all you have to do is join the Patreon, and you can get an ad-free office hours experience.
So right now, there's rubes listening who are not paying, but they're listening to ads after ads.
Yeah, such as this.
I don't listen to the ads. I don't pay attention to that aspect of the show. But
yeah,
you're telling me there are ads in this podcast.
Oh, whoever's hearing this right now, their experience of office hours is littered with ads.
Yuck.
Top to bottom.
You want to listen to it ad-free? What do you do?
You just go to patreon.com/officehourslive.
What's that going to cost me? Hundreds of dollars?
Oh, not even close. Not even. For $55, you can get a whole year of office hours entertainment.
$55, how much you can do it for $5 a month, correct?
If you're a fool,
right.
you'd pay $60 for a year at
right.
$5 a month.
But dripping the money in every week.
Yeah, like a fool. Or you can just cut your check.
Sign up for the year, because we're not going anywhere.
No, we'll be right here. And if you pay, then you don't have to hear this kind of junk anymore.
Ad free for patron subscribers. That's big.
No.
Let's lock the gates and start the show.
I like having fun.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
to laugh.
All right.
I like to meet people who can make me laugh.
Come on, boy.
I like having fun.
Yes,
I like
to laugh.
Get on
that
tube.
Get on the two! Come on! Hey!
The one.
Are we good?
I can barely hear myself.
Woo! All right, we have major last-minute issues here. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I do want to acknowledge it. I got to tell you, every time... This happens. What happens is this. We're all ready to go. I make the stupid mistake of saying, you know what? This is nice and I love it. It's nice and smooth. We actually, we're all just kind of lazing around. Everything was set. We did our discussion about the show, having some laughs.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is smooth. Matt says, that's the way I like it, boss. And then everything went to hell. Matt, very quickly, just talk me through what happened. Where was the fail? What was the point of failure? As almost as if we're the NTSC. No, what is it? The people that investigate airline crashes. What are they called? National
AVA.
No. Come on.
I don't know. Is the answer? I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
We'll be investigating.
And there was some issue with Restream, is that correct?
It seems to be Restream.
It was a total failure.
It's a shit show.
But it was not human error necessarily. We'll get to the bottom of that.
Mercury is in Gatorade.
Doug, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. The audience loves you. You're a fan favorite. And Vic as well is with us today. The Trinity has assembled once again on this Thursday morning. January 28th, 2021. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Boys, you're quiet as a mouse back there with you. You're stunned. You're stunned.
Yeah,
you're stunned into submission.
Then, yeah, we were amped up.
You're so excited.
I had all my drops in order in my head.
You're just back there
I'm cold.
Shaking.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I had mine on silent. There we go.
Someone told me long
there we go.
Go, go, go.
Very
have
good.
Have you ever...
Got your...
Jeez.
CCR.
It's all credence today.
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk through the show. Apologies, we are starting late, but I'm going to go until what? We'll do our full show.
And of course.
We got nowhere to go. We've got Derek Delgadio, somebody very funny in the audience in the Zoom chat as things were not working well, says they've got Derek Delgadio, but they should have gotten Derek Delvideo. I want to acknowledge whoever that was. Who said that? Who in the chat said that? I can't see you.
Chamo.
We'll acknowledge you with a $500,000 gift certificate to Three Stooges Coffee, which I'm drinking this morning and keeping me up. And
enjoy yourselves a cup of Three Stooges.
I want to say I my rageaholic tendencies did not. I sat here. I just focused. I breathed. I did snap at Vic once. Because everybody's chiming in with questions. Is it, what did you say? I don't know. Is it live now? I just said, they're working on it.
Well, my end said it was live, so I was trying to confirm it.
Doesn't help.
Yeah.
Just let Vic, because poor Wes and Matt, they're the stress on them. It's all on them.
Right.
They don't need no sideline quarterbacks.
And we're like, did you unplug it and plug it back in?
So Derek Delgadio, just a genius. His new special film, I don't know what you want to call it. I guess you call it a film. In and of itself on Hulu right now.
It's almost a documentary more. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's right. Because like the crowd is,
it's like a concert film. We'll discuss it with you.
It's not about the dick.
People like Vic.
This weekend, quick plugs here. This weekend, Mr. America screening and Q&A, worldwide screening. People are confused by this. Mr. America has never screened outside of the United States of America for various reasons. So we are showing it Sunday afternoon, UK time, 8 p.m. You can buy tickets at MrAmerica.com/eventive.com, eventive.com.
Link in the description.
And I can't emphasize this enough, gang. We are looking at the new year, fully independent financing and funding for On Cinema, all things On Cinema. One of the first ways that we're going to start building that war chest is through this kind of event, this screening. It's $10, or you can get a higher level and buy a DVD, get a personalized, all sorts of shit like that. So that's a great way. People say, when's On Cinema coming? What are you going to do? Why don't you do more of that? Well, I pay people to do work. I am an entrepreneur, a small business owner. We don't have Adult Swim, who's too busy making Rick and Morty pins.
Pig fuck!
Okay, they don't want to fund it anymore. Whatever they're doing, whatever they're interested in now, who knows? I don't have ideas about cartoons where people fly around in space. That's not where my creativity lies. That's not the heart of my creativity. My stuff is niche! It's not for everybody! That's why you're so special. That's why we need you. We need you supporting the Patreon here, Office Hours Live. And by the way, the benefits of this Patreon are no bounds. And all I can direct you to is say, last Friday, we did game night. We sat right in this room. We goofed for 4 hours, folks. And the only people that got to experience that were you, the patron members. And who can make me laugh? Here's the other thing. We got so high off that, I powdered that night and I've been smoking it. I got so high off game night that I said, boys, we got to do this again. I looked at the calendar. I said, what makes sense? Big football game coming up. It's called the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. It is the game that defines who is the greatest football player in America. So we're going to do a patrons only Super Bowl
party.
Down here. So join us there.
I've never seen that. What, they pick the best player?
That's right.
It's like a pageant.
It's too dangerous to play the game anymore. Right. So they just come out and you have to explain yourself. You have to explain your stats, how many touchdowns you got.
Each guy gets to run down the thing and catch the ball.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's like a heat, like an exhibition.
That was like the coolest, like dancing too, I thought.
There's some dancing. There's some shuffling. There's a rap contest. It's a lot of fun. And a band I've never heard of called The Weeknd will be playing the Super Bowl halftime. Back in my day, you had Tom Petty. You had Bruce Springsteen, Mariah Carey, Bob Dylan. I swear, one day, if they get Bob Dylan to do the Super Bowl halftime show, that would be the greatest thing to ever happen. That audience will be gobsmacked. their jaws will be on the floor. The hell is this? Anyways, that's all I have for now. Matt, did I miss anything? There's any merchandising news?
Slaps, Bops, and Bangers cassettes are starting to ship tomorrow.
Good.
Order yours. OfficeHoursLive.bandcamp.com.
Very
that's
good.
All I got.
The question of the day, I want to just get the Zoomers to chime in on this. What is something that you loved maybe as a kid or as a younger person and now look back and go, this does not hold up? Who are you? This is also a question you could be asking. Who the fuck are you? Think you know what you're doing here. Who the fuck are you? Doug, how long have you had the Who Are You sample? It's got to be 15 years gone now.
It's one of my first samples ever.
I know.
I'm just trying to get to that first line. I forgot about it. It's the remember love, this
walk
the original.
Up in a Soho doorway, a policeman. Walk up in a Soho doorway. I walk up in a Soho doorway. I woke up in a Soho doorway. Policeman knew my name. He said, you can't hang it.
What did the policeman say?
You can go sleep at home tonight if you can get up and walk away. You can go home. You can go and sleep at home.
What is it?
It's not a great deal. He wakes up in the doorway and then the cop says,
you can go home and sleep at night if...
So if he doesn't get up and...
You can walk away.
If he can't walk away, he's taking him in. Is that what it is?
He's giving him a pass.
If he can get up and walk away, he can go home and sleep.
He can go home, but...
But who the fuck are you?
I love when they get to that part because... I love on classic rock radio growing up. They wouldn't bleep that. Who the fuck are you? I'd be like, hey.
Yeah, yeah. It's like kind of snuck.
Same
in
for
there.
The Stones. Make a Dead Man Come. That's still still in there.
I got a rock trivia. Do you know which song has the word cunt in it?
Cunt.
Ooh.
No. All I know is the outtake of "How Do You Sleep" from John Lennon.
Oh,
how do you sleep, you cunt?
Rehumanize yourself by the police. He says you got your hands in the air with the
what?
Other cunts.
Oh,
wow. Well, there's a Aphex Twin song,
I think
too.
It might have got on the radio.
Was that a police radio show? A radio song? Radio-friendly police song? Yeah. I was never a police fan.
Oh, I love
Come on, you cunt.
Right. We're so behind, though. We got to jump in, don't we?
We're not behind because we're just doing a regular show.
Well, Derek is tonight.
That's Derek's fine. Still. Derek texted me and said he's here already. So
he's hanging.
Tim, you know...
I'm not rushing to get to Derek, okay?
Roger.
Everybody can chill out. Go ahead. We're talking about the Who here, Matt. And we're talking about who
I'm
are you.
I'm trying to talk about the Who.
That's what I'm saying. Let's show some respect to Doug.
I think it'd be funny to hear what Roger Daltrey would sound like if he's like at the bank or at a store and he still sounds like he talks regular or like Creedence. What's his name? Roger?
Roger Creedence?
Dan Fogarty.
Isn't his real name Roger?
No. You're thinking of Roger McGuinn.
The birds
guy. Right. What if he sounded like that just all the time?
Give me an example.
I wanted you to do that because I think
What would be some...
open an account. Someone told me long
Wait.
Ago. Have you ever seen rain?
Sir, would you like to... Hello, welcome to Bank of America.
I want to open an account. I want to put some money down.
I knew this would work.
I got to buy a checking account. Can you loan me a couple of bucks?
Sure. Can I get your debit card? And
It's 225 and 139-17658. My date of birth is 22-7-62.
And the last four digits of your social?
1-5-3-9.
All right.
I know. Who don't you know?
You know what I got caught watching last night? God. I got to show you this picture of me last night that my kid took. This is so disgusting. I'm a disgusting, embarrassing, pathetic person. I'm sitting there watching YouTube, watching the outtakes from We Are the World. Because I started watching that one of Dylan where he's, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, there. That's, my son took that asshole. But after my daughter had, she's like, I'm going to do your hair. So she starts combing my hair down. They're laughing at me. making fun of me.
You
and
look
then,
like you're in the postal service or something.
And then one of I look things. Like Brian Wilson
you
in
do
that
look like Brian Wilson.
Bedridden phase, you know. Anyways, I'm watching these outtakes of, you know, the Dylan one where he's trying to sing that part in We Are the World?
Oh, yeah.
There's a choice we're making. And he can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. He, like, can't get it, which, you know, I get. It's kind of, if you're hearing it for the first time. But then I watched another one. It was Huey Lewis and Cyndi Lauper, doing another part of that song. And poor Huey Lewis keeps going, like, flat when he's doing his part. Yeah, there's a choice we make it, and he's really good, but he keeps blowing this one part, and it's and then Cyndi Lauper was so like, oh, are you hearing all my chains? Are you hearing all my necklaces? Oh boy! Oh no! Everyone loves her, you know. Everyone's like, this she's a hoot. This woman's hilarious. What a funny person.
I'm sorry, you bitch. Whoa, whoa, whoa! Yeah! Whoa, whoa, whoa!
She always comes in like that. She's like holding off the mic. And she, whoa, 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 yeah! You'll find that one. It's a lot of fun.
I was reading about like Stones and when Jagger went, he went solo.
Uh-huh.
I think it was like, was it the First Aid concert? What was it called? Live Aid.
Live Aid, First
like,
Aid.
He was like the second last to go and with his solo thing. And then next comes out to close the show was Bob Dylan, but he had Keith Richards and Ronnie Wood. but like it was a disaster because on the way onto the stage, Dylan said, we're going to do these two songs. And they were like songs that they, nobody knew.
Right.
And it just like blew up and it's just like a shit show. So
is there a video of that?
I'd like to find footage of that. I don't know.
I love it. Matt, did you say something about merch? I forgot. Did I cut you off?
Oh, we did that.
Okay.
Tim. I got nothing else on my agenda.
All right. Well, we are back on schedule. We got the city of the day. Let's do the city of the day. It's a new code.
The city of the day. City of the day.
Every week I say I want to get to more Zoomers, and here we are. Now it's still like backed up. City of the Day is brought to you by the Hickey Stick. Hey, dorks, are you sick of being called a virgin? Well, you can convince everyone that you're desirable with real hickeys. Just attach the Hickey Stick to any car wash vacuum and hold the lifelike lips against your neck or anywhere else on your body that you'd like to attach a hickey to. The blood vessels will be sucked to the surface within seconds and a beautiful blemish will appear. And the Hickey Stick is great for getting out of hot water at the office. Next time you're late, just show your boss your purple neck. He'll understand, or she'll understand. It's even great for impressing your dad. Who wouldn't want a son who's getting some action? Well, when my son turns 13, I'm taking him straight to... When my son turns 13, I'm taking him straight to the car wash so he can start off his teen years cool. So go to myhickeystick.com and get people talking. All right, the city of the day is Charlottesville, Virginia. Right now in Charlottesville, Virginia, there is a weather condition we can all appreciate. It's a high of 39 and a low of 21. Okay. If Derek is here, why don't we stay on schedule, reasonably on schedule, and I could bring on our star of the show. Wait, who's that? Wait,
smoking and trucking.
That's Gray Niner. Gray Niner, since we've accidentally gone to you, we will say hello to you quickly.
I got to unmute.
Gray Niner, where are you at right now? Gray Niner, of course, as everyone knows, is our resident trucker.
How you guys doing today?
God was able to never do habas and who's that? What's that? How does that song go? Labos and Babo do who would I have a who? What is he? Who does he think he is? Dean Martin? Is that Bob Weir singing on that song? God was able to who would I have a hoop hop? What do you know about that, Gray Niner?
Trucking. I know that they do not let truck drivers use cocaine anymore. I know that much.
Down in Buffalo. Where are you at?
I am in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, broken down, waiting on repair.
Oh, no! Oh, what happened?
Yeah. Just engine troubles.
Shit, man. Gray Niner got engine troubles. Well, go get out there.
Did you guys hear me before during the technical difficulties?
No,
I was opening for the show.
No, we couldn't. But I like that idea. Well, you should have a Zoom opener.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys all self-nominate somebody to do that? And you guys, that could be a whole thing that I know nothing about. How about that?
Like a warm-up, warm-up comic on those night shows.
So, who's coming out to rescue your ass?
I am already at the place. How do I flip my camera? I'm out here.
Okay.
Waiting for the mechanics to bring me into the shop.
You probably love it, right? When you get a breakdown, you're like, nothing I can do about it, boss. Engine trouble.
Sleep a little bit.
You think some mobbed up guys are going to come and hijack your truck ever? They're going to take the cigarettes off the back of your, out of your, what do you call that thing in the back?
Cab?
No.
Sleeper.
No, I'm talking about in the actual, what you're hauling.
The trailer.
A guy come up
I'm
with
a flatbed, so I ain't never got cigarettes, but. Oh.
Guy come up with a lunch, like a paper bag with a gun in it. Get the fuck out of the truck!
Can we see what your bed looks like back there?
It's such a mess right now. Fuck.
Tidy up before office hours,
okay,
man.
Hang on. Give me 2 seconds.
Tidy it up.
Just let us see it for the real thing.
Okay, fine. Here's my bed. I got Fritos, my banjo.
That looks fucking nice, doesn't it? Doug,
Look at that giant screen right at the foot of your bed.
Doug, that's your life right
that's
there.
That's my television.
I'm into it. Now, how are the lot lizards looking these days?
Do you ever score some crank at the Love's parking lot?
Nope.
All right, great.
Not me.
Do you have an answer to my question? Anything that you used to love that has not held up? Sunny days are here again. Hi, this is Tim Heidecker, your Office Hours host, letting you know about Factor Meals. It's time to meet your wellness goals in time for the summer, and Factor is here to help you. They've got chef-crafted meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. They're dietitian approved and will help you kickstart a new healthy routine for the summer. I know you're all asking, what are Tim's current top faves? Well, I'll tell you. The filet mignon and mushroom risotto and the calorie smart Greek chicken and tomato penne pasta. Those are my top picks that you just can't go wrong with. But guess what? They have 35 different meal options every week with over 60 add-ons available. So if you can't find something you like, well, that's on you, buddy. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code officehours50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Ys. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Ys. Movies, Baby!
Nope.
All righty then. 10-4.
Can we get a honk?
See you, buddy.
Honking? No.
What, yeah, I'll get you a honk.
There.
Don't honk. I don't need to honk.
I did it.
Some guys,
I got your honk, Green.
Yeah, he's just sitting at the repair store. The guy's like, I'm coming, all right?
Come on.
Did I ever tell you, I want to do this prank show. I just want to do this prank show And the only thing that ever happens on the prank show is I go into drive-thrus and honk. You know what I mean? Like, you go in and you're just like everybody else, you're just waiting. You know what's happening. And there's nothing particularly long going on. Everybody in that situation is like, what the fuck? Derek Delgadio, what do you think of that idea for a show?
I thought you already made it.
No, I'm saying it's an idea that I want to do. It's a show. Every week you tune in, it's just called Honking at the Drive-In.
It should be called Honked, like punked.
Honked.
Honking at the Drive-In.
I think if anyone could get it made, it'd be you.
No, people have this misconception that I get things made. I got to tell you, nobody wants to do business with me.
What happened?
Well, there's lots of things that you don't need to know.
Okay.
How are you, my friend?
Good, buddy. It's great to see you.
It is good to see me. I understand that feeling. I can relate. And it's good to see you.
Fine to see me.
It looks like you're in some kind of insurance office or something. You look very... It's like a professional seat behind you.
No, my wife decorates, so...
How is your wife?
She's excellent. Vanessa says hello.
Vanessa, it would be wonderful to see you. I'll tell you what. My producer, Matt, wrote me this weekend and said, have you guys seen In and of Itself? He was adamant. He said, I can't believe this thing. Surely I had told you about it before, but I said, have I seen it? I was at the show.
Opening night. First one ever.
Of course. Yeah. You know who's at that show in the opening night? Was Robbie Robertson.
Okay.
From the band. I think it was either that show or you had another show.
Oh, yeah. I remember you made a big deal out of it then. I didn't know who it was then either.
Okay.
He was the lead. He was the main guy in the band. But anyways, I was there at opening night.
Anyway.
Had my mind blown. You then took the show to New York and it ran on, would you say, off-Broadway?
Off-Broadway.
And it was filmed. And then it's finally come out on Hulu. But it was hard for you to get it out, right? Or what was the process of getting this film out?
It was really tough. I mean, no one wanted, you know how it is when no one wants to make your stuff.
Yeah. Everything come out this last year that you guys have seen, Moonbase, my stand-up special, my record, those were all things that took forever to put out because most people didn't want to put it out.
You make a good point.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. No one really knew what it was or what the hell they were looking at, and they didn't really want to take a risk on it. So they didn't. So I started slowly filming it with friends like ourselves, and it took a year and a half basically to get someone to step up to the plate, and thankfully they did, and we got to put it out.
But you put it, but Frank Oz directed it, correct?
Yeah, Frank and I. Yeah, we yes.
He directed the stage show.
He directed the stage show, yeah, and then we pushed the boulder up the hill together at the end there.
Do you want to hear my impression of Frank Oz directing?
Yes.
Action! That's not very nice.
That's good. I'll tell you that.
Please let him know.
I'll let him know you're a fan.
Yeah. So the challenge with you, Derek.
Oh, I know.
It's like, what can you even say about what you do or what you've done?
Should I go? Should I let myself out?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
What do you feel comfortable saying about what you do?
Whatever you want. I mean, it's odd. I mean, I think you actually have more knowledge and insight into what it's like to talk about my work than you might think, because I know how difficult it is to talk about your work. Saying you're a comedian doesn't really describe it. Saying you're a musician doesn't really, I mean,
right.
I don't know what you are, and what you do, but I just know Tim does what Tim does, and I feel like I do the same thing where I kind of try to just make what I make and hope people like it.
Yeah, because I feel
it was an accident.
do you Because you start, would you say you started as a magician?
Of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was the craft that I picked up and I learned. But I'm, you know, around the time I met you, which was like a little over a decade now.
Yeah, 2008 or earlier than that. Yeah,
that was when I started to realize that maybe the craft and the, you know, the medium that I was working in wasn't necessarily it wasn't the right tools for the job I was trying to do. And so I started to try to figure out how to use these things that I'd learned to say other things or tell other stories. But yeah, I started out as a sleight of hand artist.
The challenge is like the sleight of hand stuff that you do, the close-up magic. Yeah. I feel like words are becoming so complicated, because if I say the word magic, that becomes problematic for people or you. But we all have these shorthands.
Of course.
You know, seeing you at the Magic Castle 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I'd sort of, through some friends of mine, some mutual friends, started going to the Magic Castle as a thing to do, as like a recreational night out. Just very weird, because you got to get dressed up in a suit, and you know, some of it's very corny, some of it's very, you know, laughably corny sometimes, but some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Sure. And you're one of the guys that when I saw you, you were doing close-up stuff, and it was just like better than anybody else, you know, that I knew of, except for that guy that was the only guy that maybe tops you is that blind guy. Holy shit. That was some weird stuff. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
There was a guy who was blind doing card tricks. It's like, huh? Okay. Stevie Wonder, I get. This guy doesn't make any sense. I feel like I'm being...
He wasn't blind.
He's blind, right, Derek?
Yeah, he's blind.
Yeah. Anyways, the thing I learned from you, I think, is that I didn't know anything about that world. What you explained to me is so much of what's going on there is years and years and years and years of work.
Mm-hmm.
And heart, like, practice, becoming, like, doing something over and over and over and over again. Like, to an insane degree. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, sure. Like with the same with music. Yeah.
Not like that. I mean, unless you're Yngwie Malmsteen or one of the
Well, that's Yngwie. To achieve virtuosity, yes, that is the type of practice I was interested in was that type of practice.
Now, is it something that you have to keep up?
Yes.
So you do it every day.
No, I haven't touched a deck of cards since the show closed.
Oh, really? So you're losing? Do you think you're losing your edge? Do you think you could be losing your talents?
I don't know. I mean, possibly. I'd have to. Maybe it's possible. But it is like riding a bike a little. I pick the cards up and start to feel them out again, and it starts to come back to me.
The scariest thing that you guys do, and other people do it, but you do it really well, is you convince the audience that you're fucking up.
Okay.
Right? You do that thing where you're like, fuck. Like, and I felt it in my stomach. Like, it's like a high wire. Like, this guy's going to blow it. And it's like the whole thing that you do. And you can't even do this. And
isn't that your entire stand-up act?
That is my entire stand-up act. Yes. You know what? I don't know. There might have been some inspiration from you in my stand-up act where you feel like I want to push the audience to the place where they're like, oh, no, this is not going well, and I don't know if he knows how to get out of it, and I think he's going to actually have a nervous breakdown.
It's kind of a trope in magic, in the sense that there's not a lot of inherent drama in magic,
right?
Because usually you know that the guy's going to find the card or whatever it is they're going to do.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you have to engineer drama and suspense in that, like, I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah. Even though it would be insane if it didn't, like,
right.
But it has to have happened to you in the past. Did something happen where something legitimately didn't go the way you planned?
Sure. Yeah, all the time. This last, in and of itself, I didn't have any of that. I didn't, there was never a point where I was feigning that this may go wrong.
Right.
Because I engineered things that actually could go wrong into the experience. There was a lot of uncertainty in the performance where I genuinely didn't know if this was going to work, or if someone
would come back or you know, things like that.
I feel bad. I mean, hopefully a lot of the audience has seen it. We asked people to check it out. I don't know. Doug, did you see it?
No, sir.
Isn't that? Look at, he's shaking his head. It's sick. It's sick.
Doug.
All he needs to do.
I don't have to do the Hulu.
He doesn't have the Hulu. All right. But I think people will check it out if they. What's that, Derek?
No, I don't want to give people the wrong idea and set up expectations that it's like a magic show.
No.
They might be very disappointed if they go looking for, you know, whatever they think that is.
Well, there are certain elements of mentalism or magic, kind of, like you say, tropes, kind of things from the world, from your experience as sleight of hand that become sort of the set pieces of the experience.
Of course.
But you're also telling a story and talking about bigger themes and bigger issues.
Trying.
Right? He said, all right.
I'm trying.
But so you did that show every night for how many, like months or
17 months in New York.
17 months. That's like 13 years.
Yeah, feels like it.
So were there nights where things legitimately didn't go as planned?
Yeah, of course. Of course. All the time.
But somehow, does the audience feel that?
Yeah, disappointment? Sure. Yeah, they feel that, I'm sure.
Do you give your money back?
No. All sales are final. Sometimes they didn't know. They just were like, that was a strange moment. That was disappointing, and I don't know why, you know, or they just didn't think it was very good. I don't know how many times people actually knew that things had gone wrong. But the thing that was the most, that went, I would say, wrong often is the thing with the book, where I give them a book to go out and come back the next day.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just describe this quickly. It's a fascinating thing that you do. You created this sort of chain reaction with the shows. I don't know how you did it on your first show that I was there. You must have started. You had to start somehow, but you basically give somebody a book and then they come back the next night.
Yeah.
On the honor system, I suppose. You don't have any guarantees that they're even available to do that.
Yeah.
They come back the next night, and what do they do? What do they do with the book?
They're kicked out before the show ends.
Right.
They're asked to write down what they saw so far, and to write down how they imagine it ends.
Oh, right.
And
right.
The next day they come back. Hopefully, I give them this book. Hopefully, they come back and read their imaginary ending on stage, which meant I was giving the stage over to a stranger to do and say whatever they wanted to do or say for as long as they needed to.
And you get and to chill was, out. And you get to
It was dicey. We had someone do like a 10-minute musical number where they brought boomboxes on stage and their twin sister and did a song and dance.
Right.
And I just had to sit there. It was horrible.
It's horrible. When I do my stand-up, and also when I do this show, I love the fact that I don't have a big plan for how things are going to go. And in my stand-up special, and I started doing this years ago, I would bring up people, I'd bring up a guy, and somehow in my, like, as I'm scanning the audience, I'd try to find a couple, and I would say, and my audience, I can kind of predict looking at certain people what the dynamic is going to be there to a pretty good, doesn't always work, but I have a good sense. Bring the guy up. I lure him into acknowledging his girlfriend. Usually they live together. These are all like probabilities that usually work out, you know.
Yeah.
Bring him up and I convince him to propose to her. And people go, is that a setup? Is that something that, you know, you've talked to? And I was like, no, I don't need to, because A, if it doesn't work out, that's probably going to be funny too, you know. I get to yell at that guy and call, and you know, you start with the premise that, like, well, if you love her, why don't you marry her? It's like, well, that's life isn't that easy, pal. Like, I'm not, you know, but most of the time, I would say 80% of the time, it just works. And they, you know, some people probably go, well, we actually didn't get married because this was an illegally binding experience. But most of the time it's like, well, yeah, we were going to do this anyways. And how cool to just do it here.
That's so cool. Did you ever follow up? Did you ever find out if any of those worked out?
The woman, man and woman in the special that's out now plans to, yeah, they have a wedding. I think the pandemic slowed things down, but they are.
But that's great.
It's great for me because I've got, you know, 20 minutes of just vamping in the show that doesn't require any material.
But have you ever caused a divorce with your show? Because I have. Our show caused two.
Wait, so tell me about that.
So with the book, you know, it's a lot of responsibility. I asked someone, all I say in the show is I need someone to come back tomorrow.
Right.
And I don't really give them much context other than I need someone to come back tomorrow.
Right.
Someone raises their hand and then I tell them what the assignment is. And it's essentially a homework assignment. They're given homework.
Right.
And I found out that one particularly specific that a couple had come to New York City and they were being, you know, New York tourists.
Sure.
And the wife volunteered to be the person who comes back,
right.
Which meant the next day they woke up to go
do
tourism stuff. Yeah, and the husband's like, "So we're going to the Statue of Liberty today?" What about? She's like, "No, I got to go back to this thing and do it." And he's like, "No, we're in New York. We got to do." New York. Like, no, I can't. I got to go back to the show and it caused a huge argument. And when they got back home, they got a divorce.
Jesus Christ. Man. Well, I mean, that was going to happen eventually, no matter, something was going to push that thing over the cliff.
Sure.
Something's about to bust.
Something's about to bust. one last question and then I'll let you go. What does a man like you do during that when you don't have an audience for a year? What the hell have you been doing with yourself? What?
I wrote a book.
Oh, great.
What?
Another fucking book now.
Yeah, sorry. What? It's not audio. There's an audio version you can listen to.
Is it out?
It'll be out March 2nd.
So that's what you did with your time. Meanwhile, I'm sitting around watching We Are the World outtakes on my bed. Eating peanut butter and Nutella. What's the book about? Is it basically an adaptation of the show or is it something else? Is it like a Stephen King horror book or is it a fucking romance?
No,
some Ennis Nin.
It's about truth and morality, I guess.
I'm just kidding. Is it got pictures in it? I mean, what am I doing with
it? It does
book?
Have pictures in it.
Okay.
It does. Yeah, it has pictures in it. And there's talk of lesbians and talk of cheating at card games and Plato's Allegory of the Cave. There's something for everyone. It has something for everyone.
I want to read it. I expect an advance copy.
Yeah, absolutely.
The galley.
Yeah, the uncorrected proof.
Yeah.
Sure.
Who was your mentor
in life?
Like in what you do in your field, did you have somebody that?
Yeah, that's actually, I guess in a sense what the book is about. It's about, it's about not growing up without a father.
Yeah.
And the absence that came with and me trying to fill that void my entire life. And the mentors that kind of stepped in to fill that role is a large part of the narrative. And so, yeah, I've had many mentors and find lots of inspiration from, you know, my friends like you and whoever else.
That's what I was looking for. I was your mentor. You didn't know it, but I was pushing you along.
I didn't have one specifically, but I've had many, many great ones.
Well, I'm so glad you were available to talk today.
Yeah, I don't know what this was, but thanks.
This is it. This is the show. I mean,
this is it.
This is me talking to you. The audience is loving it, right, guys? Let's see a round of applause in the Zoom world.
Wow.
This is going out on youporn.com right now. So, for premium members. No, Derek, this is a very popular podcast / live streaming chat show, talk show.
Okay.
Just pretend you just did the Jimmy Fallon show, except there was no bullshit.
That I can do.
All right, brother. I'm proud of you, and I'm proud of your film, and congratulations. And everybody's tweeting about it. Judd Apatow's tweeting about it. Everybody is. The Muppets are into it. How many Muppets do you think has seen the show at this point by now?
How many Muppets?
Yeah.
I mean, Frank is like six of them, so at least many.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll talk to you later, friend.
Okay, buddy. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you, guys.
Goodbye, okay. Derek Delgadio.
Bye, Derek.
In and of itself. Matt, what the hell should we do? I mean, should we take a Zoomer?
Yeah. I mean, please. Really been neglecting it, haven't we?
On Friday, or last week, I said, Matt, we've got to be better about taking calls.
I know. I bugged Kevin Giggler about his name. So.
Oh, Kevin Giggler. Hello, Kevin.
Gang.
Hey, how's it going?
Going pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I had a quick question for you about our alumni, Temple University.
Go ahead.
No. Do you know about the situation in Annenberg Hall with the Tim and Eric billion-dollar movie poster?
There's a situation?
Well, in Annenberg Hall, there's sort of, throughout the entire building, there's movie posters from famous Temple alumni who have made movies.
Yeah, okay. So there's the billion-dollar movie poster. I don't like where this is going.
Well, the issue I have with it is the location of it. And I
is it by the toilet?
It's in the basement of the building, and it has a filing cabinet in front of it.
Ah!
Oh, no.
Disgraziato!
It covers 75% of the... What do you think
about that? Uf, Maron.
I like to imagine that someone was, like, touring Temple and saw the poster and then tried to watch the movie later and was just horrified and
well, good
Temple
for them.
Very
I mean,
upset.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Who cares? But... I'm glad. I thought you were going to say it was defaced or they keep on putting, you know, swastikas on my head or something like that.
Oh, no. Temple loves you guys. You guys are our shining stars. You and Anderson Cooper.
Oh, Anderson Cooper went there?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
I don't like it.
That's weird because he was like he came from elites. He was like a Vanderbilt or something like that, right? I'm surprised he didn't go to like, you know.
Maybe he went to the grad school there.
For what? Journalism? Did he go to Annenberg School of Journalism?
I'd assume so, yeah.
What other posters are hanging up there?
Hall & Oates?
Movies?
Not. I forget off the top of my head. The only one I really remember is the $1 movie. But
here's a good way to make a compelling show. Have somebody tell you the number of posters somewhere is.
I didn't ask for the number. I said what other movies are...
I think you said how many.
No, what other...
Well, I'm not listening. That's the problem. I zoned you out. All right.
Truly...
thanks Kevin for the update on that. I would say why do you need a filing cabinet at all? Digitize it. Get the filing cabinets out into the scrap metal junkyard.
Unfortunately, I think it was specifically to cover up your poster. It was
maybe
it
it's
was
filled with DVDs of the
movie. Silence your work. Yeah, maybe you open it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they could have a lot of posters up there of our work if they really wanted to honor us. I used to come and speak at the Temple internship program out here in Los Angeles for a couple of years, and then I stopped doing it because I stopped caring. If you want to talk to me, all you got to do is call into the show. Right? Have I been more giving of my time than anybody?
I would say so, Tim. You've been very giving of your time, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Tim.
I want to just talk quickly. Thank you so much. My love and respect to the wonderful people of Philadelphia.
There's no video of President
anything that
Trump
you wanted to chime in on things that you used to love, but yes.
I was as a child, I was a big fan of the Lord of the Rings Return of the King video game for the Nintendo GameCube. And as I got it some years ago, thinking that I would enjoy it, and I couldn't get past the first level, and I hated it, and I was really upset because as a kid I played it a lot, and I almost beat the entire game. It was the massive game that went through the whole movie,
and you regressed.
But I regressed. Yeah, I got worse at video games as I aged.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, waste of time anyway. But I wanted to know if anyone else in chat or wherever else has ever played the Lord of the Rings Return of the King.
That definitely sounds like a side chat.
That's off the air. I'll take that off the air.
I didn't know they made a Lord of the Rings GameCube game, so
they made it bunches. It was very fun, at least when I was a child. Now it's shit.
To go the other route, I've been playing Smash Brothers with my kids, and it holds up. It's beautiful. Nice.
Always holds up. Great game. Yeah.
The one I had when I thought of this question this morning was, maybe it's an obvious one, but the comic strip Garfield. I, as a kid, absolutely loved Garfield. I had the books. As a collector, I was like, yeah, I collect Garfield comics, galleries. Galleries.
You would tell people that?
Yeah, I would give little speeches at the in before class started. I've just received my Garfield Gallery 12. I'm not as fond of the earlier galleries. I think Jim Davis's work improved. And then one day, you know, you pass through a rite of childhood where you grow up and you're like, this isn't exactly working for me as much anymore. Did whatever happened to Jim Davis? His shit used to be gold.
But how about the cartoon, though? They just made a whole show based on the voice of Bill Murray, but it wasn't really Bill Murray. It was just like a knockoff.
I heard my kids watch that. It's terrible. Yeah. It's like this really cheap CGI.
Oh, yeah. That's
bad. Really stuff. But in the 80s, there was a cartoon, but they had some guy just like impersonating him.
All right. We're keeping the show going.
We can, you know, he can hang.
I understand.
We can talk more Garfield.
No, I don't want to. This is a probably well-known story, but apparently the reason Bill Murray did that movie was because he thought it was a Coen Brothers movie. Did you hear about that? That what? It was directed by...
Because the writer is that other Coen,
there's
right?
another Joel Coen or Ethan Coen.
Oh.
Ethan Coen. Yeah.
Well, and that's why he needs a manager to sort these things out.
I know. Right. And we're like, Bill Murray's so cool, man, because he doesn't even have a manager, man. You just got to call this number and maybe he'll pick up. Well, you know what, Bill? Maybe it's time you get somebody to handle your affairs.
So we don't have another Garfield disaster.
But also, why not do the Garfield?
Why wouldn't you do that?
Show up. I don't know. Who cares? My voice. I can talk like this if you want. Oh, God damn it. By the way, we got this wonderful, another piece of art from our tremendous community here. There it is. This is from Crystal Hernandez, right? Is that it, Matt?
Yes.
Crystal Hernandez.
She usually does pet
paintings
in this style, but she decided...
This painting is my humble attempt at saying thanks to the Holy Trinity. I don't miss a show or game night or special. And I wanted to sincerely say that the show has been a lifesaver this past year. How about that? I'm grateful to you all and especially to Tim. I didn't add that. That's you can look that up. That's here. And then it goes on and on. Nothing about Vic.
No.
Nothing here about Vic.
Sadly.
I do not shampoo my hair. We do have Brendan Walsh standing by, and we will be getting to a brand new video from Vic that I commissioned. We commissioned. Based on the famous Lip Lick series. And that's coming up in the second half of our show. So stand by for that. Quickly, you know, I was going to spend a lot of time talking about this GameStop situation. And then it feels like it just exploded overnight or during the past day or so to the point where it's already, like, oversaturated. Right? Everyone knows. Everyone gets it. We all understand.
For the most part.
We know what side to take. We know that. But Wes, you were explaining to me that it's actually bad for GameStop. Is that correct?
Yeah, it because their valuation is now so incredibly high. If they want to go out and, you know, try and raise capital, they're going to have to do it on a down round, which is then just going to plummet the stock. But also, they have absolutely no control over their destiny right now. So, yep.
What is GameStop? It's just a place to buy video games.
Yeah, you can get your games there.
But you can do that also. You can buy online.
Well, yeah, Amazon probably killed them, right?
Yeah, I mean, everyone.
And the fact that no one goes out to the mall anymore because of the pandemic. Video games have never been more popular, but the idea of going to a store to buy them seems a little, like, redundant.
They've also been horribly run for a very long time.
Right. They but they're in every mall. Like, they're in even, like, the shit malls. Or maybe they're only in the shit malls. I don't know. I thought if anybody was watching Game Night, I thought we sort of hit on a similar vein with Edgar Winter. We took Edgar Winter. we were playing our Instagram follower game with the rock stars, the classic rockers. And it was a little sad because we had a great, we had Edgar Winter. And it's just a great part of the game because he only had 200 followers on Instagram. And that's almost impossible to guess unless you, I mean, I guess that it's a good argument to always go for that $1 bet.
Nobody did that until the last round.
Right. But if you would have cleaned up and won that $500,000 gift certificate to the Three Stooges Coffee. But
do we want an update on, on his followers?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. So on game night, if you're not a Patreon, you're a loser. Let's admit that. And you're a freeloader and you're sitting on the back of a turnip truck. But we got into it and said, well, let's raise that count. We have that. Just the same way the GameStoppers did this, they hoarded together and made something beautiful happen. Turns out it's not so beautiful, according to. So, what is the downside of pushing up Edgar Winter's Instagram follower account? I think if we do reach a place where he's in the hundreds of thousands or millions, that Edgar Winter's going to feel some kind of pressure to maintain, you know, go back on the road. Maybe he's at home going like, I don't like all this attention now. He's got all these skeletons in his closet.
Caused some health problems for Winter. That's not good.
I like on game night, Doug, you said J. Edgar Winter.
Well, look at that cover of that album.
I think he's in a good place. He's at 239 now.
What do you mean 239?
239 followers.
No.
Wait, no.
Edgar Winter?
Edgar's
he's
way up.
945. He's at.
Wait.
It was at 221.
Edgar Winter official.
Now he's at 950.
It's right there.
You're looking at how many people he follows, maybe.
No, I'm looking right here. 951 now. Let's keep it going, guys.
We want to get him to...
So right we want to go to 2,000, I think.
I have it up on the screen. I'm going to refresh.
I see 939.
What number? Oh, look, where do you see that number,
Matt's
man?
On psychedelics here. So.
Look.
No. Well,
I can't
wait.
I have to zoom in.
Zoom in, man.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
What did Matt think is the number?
No, it's 953.
No, it was literally 945, like, a minute ago.
I know, but you said two something.
239.
Where did that come from?
Wait, what?
Roll back the clip.
Let's get oh, shit. Matt's, wow. Matt's on mushrooms. Matt's on mushrooms. He's having a stroke.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, folks, everybody watching, go to Instagram if you have an account there. Edgar Winter Official and start following. You're going to be glad you did. I don't think I even did yet, but let's get him over 1,000 today. And we will. And the good thing is, though, there's nobody shorting the Edgar Winter follower account out there that I know of, right?
Well, we got Tyler's actually a Zoomer. Can you play? Can you do that opening lick from Frankenstein for us?
It would probably blow out everyone's audio.
That's fine.
Let's do it, baby. Blow it out.
What are we looking for?
Edgar Winter's Frankenstein.
It's just like chuck-a-doom.
Wow.
Very good. Hey, that didn't blow out. That was one of our rare Zoom.
I think I have the sound set proper. So,
sounded like Bonham. Like
did you want to say something?
Well, no, I was actually just talking to Matt on the chat. I was going to bring up the Edgar Winter thing if I had the chance, and you guys did it right before.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's
oh, good. He pointed out that the comments. We didn't talk about the comments.
Yeah, keep them positive.
Well, keep them positive. Yeah, don't turn this into like a Tom Segura thing where you're.
No, they're nice. They're all peace and love.
No, they're rocket. All great. They're all office hours centered.
Great.
So it's awesome.
Well, I think Matt, we got to do what we can to get Edgar on the show and have him talk about.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Can we hear when the levee breaks?
No, I'm not that great.
Come on, you can play
that's easy.
I can give you one of these.
Oh, yeah. Jermaine,
there it is.
Come on, just play when the levee breaks.
All right, enough.
I want to hear the levee.
It's a fucking wall of sound.
Hi-hats on that one.
All right.
Yeah,
Let's get to Brendan Walsh. Brendan Walsh has an exciting new feature for us, an exciting new presentation. Brendan Walsh!
Poor Segura, he's going to be sad.
Using funny
They're
names
getting rid of General Motors is stopping gas-powered cars.
Oh,
and
no.
SUVs by 2035. Is he here?
What's up?
Here he is.
Hey, B. Walsh. What's going
on,
bro?
What's up, homies? Yo, yo, yo. What's up?
What's up, doggy? What's going on with your... What's going on with your two-tone glasses and everything?
What's that?
What's going on with your glasses and your... Were you in an accident of some kind?
I got LASIK. You know LASIK eye surgery?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I went to get that and you know how they do like... they can remove hemorrhoids with lasers too?
Right.
Well, the doctor that did my LASIK had the laser set to hemorrhoids still. And when it burned my eye.
Oh, is it out? Is the eye out?
No, it's still there. I just have to wear these Band-Aids. And they said not to have a lens on this
I get it.
Eye.
Yeah, I see it. It looks like you got some sweet tats.
Yeah, dude. I've been going down to Temecula, Wicked Dove Tattoos.
Awesome, man.
They've been hooking me up. They pierced. I got my stuff in here. That's
awesome.
And that's all for why I'm here today, because I've successfully rebranded myself as the Rock and Roll Gossip Guy.
Okay. You're like a TMZ type?
Yeah, but I'm, but rock
how are you,
and roll.
How are you gauging that it's a successful, rebrand? You
well,
said you successfully relaunched.
I got a, look at that. That's a skull smoking a cigar right there on my ring. And I'm here to do some gossip. So it looks like I'm already booking gigs as a rock and roll gossip guy.
Is that, Green Day you got there?
That's right, my man.
Awesome. All right, what's the gossip you have for us today?
Well, today I've been...
By the way, your dog or whatever it is back there is quite annoying. She keeps peeking out at the blinds, and it's blowing everything out.
I just chucked her on the ground.
Oh, Jesus. That's not cool.
She's okay.
Okay.
So I'm here to talk about everybody's favorite girl next door, Mindy Kaling.
Okay. Mindy Kaling from The Office.
From The Office, from the late night. I think the show, she did a movie with
Emma Thompson.
The Emma Thompson. It's a great film if you guys haven't seen that.
Great.
So we're going to go through some of her Instagram posts. I don't know if Matt has them queued up or.
Yeah, we're synced with you.
You've got your.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got your presentation.
You won't be able to see it, but if you know what they are, so.
Okay, but you're showing the same things in the same order?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Pool party. Okay, we've got this first one here. We have Mindy Kaling sitting poolside in a ball gown.
Nice.
And she says, when no one can come to your pool party, but you're not mad about it. And if you can see, she's not mad. She's looking very in vogue. And I don't know if you guys can zoom in there, but those are not magazines that she has.
What is it?
Next to her? Those are stacks of scripts, my friend.
Oh, shit.
She's getting lots of offers.
Right.
For lots of TV and film. And she's the funny thing is that, like, I mean, what kind of pool party are you going to have?
Right.
You know, I mean, you're reading scripts in a ball gown.
She says when no one, almost like she's painting the picture here, when no one can come to your pool party, but you're not. Mad about
you're not
it.
Mad about it.
Nah. Hey, you
I'm
know
just
what?
Hang out.
I actually like being alone.
Yeah.
So I can focus on reading scripts, deciding what I'm going to be doing next, even maybe rereading her own scripts or like doing that sort of reading of a first draft and making some notes. And also looks like she's got some cappuccino there or something like that. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, there's a little something if you zoom in down there. Could be a.
I don't know about zooming in, and it doesn't seem to be happening.
Could be a Starbucks drink, which I'm open to sponsoring. The Rock and Roll Gossip Guy.
Oh, you're open to sponsoring Starbucks? How's that going to work? All right, what else do you have?
I mean, I could promote their coffees. Okay, so the next.
Barbecue.
Barbecue, that's right. Once again, Mindy Kaling likes to.
Ah.
likes to entertain, but also respects the pandemic and social distancing.
So she's fired up the grill.
Even when we can't have many people at our barbecues, it doesn't mean we can't get into the barbecue spirit.
Nice.
So, candid shot of her cooking what looks like two tiny little chicken breasts, because that's going to show you that there's nobody. There's not going to be a lot of people here.
Right. She's very festive with her apron and the colorful shirt. She's looking great.
She's got that hat. You got to protect yourself from the sun.
What is it? What are her comments like? What are people? Are people psyched to see this?
I mean, people love it. I can only see a few down, but Leo the Frenchie says, "Can I have some, please?"
Right. Yeah, because that chicken looks delicious.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks good. I don't want to put words in Leo's mouth, but I think he's just like, "Hey, Mindy, next time you have a barbecue, maybe invite me over. I'd love to hang out."
Yeah, that'd be nice, especially with that pool.
Dude, that'd be sick. And that's also, that looks like a Weber grill there.
Right. That's top notch. All right, what else? Working out.
All's working out. We got Mindy. She's working out. Or is she?
Or not? What is the caption?
It says, this workout requires the perfect playlist. Uh-huh. Me, 2 hours later. Okay, playlist is done. Time for a nap.
Oh, shit.
Which is, I think we can all relate to that.
Did she even work out, or did she just listen to the playlist? Is that kind of the...
I mean, I think what she's insinuating is that, like, she was procrastinating on the workout by creating the perfect playlist. And then by the time she put in 2 hours into creating the playlist, it's nap time. And the funny thing is, she's got her PJs on, but workout shoes. So that's like a kind of a...
She's ready for just about anything.
That's an Easter egg there for everyone.
Any comments to speak of here? What are people saying? What's the reaction from the followers?
So this is one lady says, "Is that a workout onesie?" And then, P.S. It's adorable. White
people. I know. It is adorable. I love it. All right. What else do you got?
Just to put this in perspective, that has 88,883 likes.
People love it.
The next one with 126,378 likes. Mindy says, "When you put on jeans for the first time in a few weeks and can't remember how to walk."
Because she's put on a few, apparently, according to her.
I don't think that's what.
Is that what's
saying.
Insinuating?
They're a little tight, right? The jeans are a little tight, and you're like... Penguin walking.
No. I think what she's saying is because of the pandemic, we're all wearing sweatpants, and then the jeans might be a little just too much resistance. But this isn't about gaining weight.
That's anybody not. Anybody in the comments relating to that?
You know what? The only ones I can see are, it's a guy says, "Don't make me off some."
What the hell does that mean?
He might be, because if you notice, maybe he's not wearing any shoes or socks in this, so maybe that's some kind of foot freak.
He's saying, "Don't make me want to off someone," like he's going to kill someone.
Could be part of the Soprano.
We could get somebody to investigate that. But right. that's 126,378 likes coming in on that one. This next one. Now, Tim, this is one that maybe you can relate to and maybe even get together and work with her, because you like to make music. And Mindy's here posing with a kid's ukulele.
Oh, shit.
And it says, "During quarantine, I've been working on becoming an indie rock darling."
Oh, shit.
Are you working? Again, wearing PJs. And
she's
posing.
Saying, "Is it working?"
Yeah, she's asking her
followers.
Her fans if it's working.
Now,
next time I'll get to where I can scroll through these comments more, because I bet there's
I'm so
Brendan,
curious.
Is there an audio element to this picture so we can hear if it's working?
That's right, because how am I supposed to know if it's working if we only have this one picture of her with a kid's ukulele?
What is it, indie? Is she said indie rock?
Yeah. She might be doing some kind of Zooey Deschanel style music there.
That's what I was thinking.
What is the crowd saying? What is the peanut gallery saying?
Well, this one only has 69,521 likes. So I imagine that people might be like, don't Listen, stick to writing scripts, stick to, you know, you don't need to spread yourself too thin.
Right.
Especially during a pandemic.
So this was kind of a bit of a flop for Mindy, this post here.
I think it's a bit of a flop, but I also think it's just all, it's in good fun.
Yeah.
It's
believe me, I get that.
It is funny and it is fun.
Any more?
This one, the next one is from just this past Halloween with 106,144 likes. Mindy, in what appears to be her walk-in closet, which is actually pretty nice.
Pretty spacious. Is that a Batman blazer?
Well, that is a Halloween-style blazer, and she says, missing Halloween, but make it fashion.
Okay.
People know what that means. And that's and then a couple of the comments says... Well, one guy says, what show is this lady from? Someone please help. she's from a lot of shows. Yeah. And then,
that's a little rude. I hate when comments turn into Google search bars.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, the amount of time it took for him to type that, he could have just done a Google image search or something.
Yeah.
Or he texted one of his friends.
Well, her name is right there.
He could have clicked on a profile.
The name.
The name Mindy Kaling search. Oh, yeah, she's from that show. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, which is the Mindy Project, The Office, and
late night
she
movie.
Was on. There's a couple other things too.
She was on a season of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, sure. King of Queens. She wasn't on that, but I recently watched an episode of King of Queens for the first time ever in my life, and guess what? Not that bad.
Oh. I heard a rumor that you were a fan of the new Chris Hardwick show, The Ball or something. What's it called?
The Wall.
The Wall.
Yeah, it's great.
Chris Hardwick is back.
Chris Hardwick is back with a vengeance, and you can win up to $12 million if you play your cards right and get the right, the Wall is kind to you.
Is there nobody else that could do that job? Is he singularly capable? Is there something, has he got some kind of... You know, don't you think there's just got to be a million people of color, women, all sorts of people that could host a fucking game show? Does Chris Hardwick get a million swings at the bat of the Hollywood bat?
I think I get where you're coming from, Tim, and I agree. Mindy would be a perfect host for The Wall.
I mean, let's break in some new talent. Is all I'm saying. All right, one more of this Mindy Kaling business from you, Brendan, and then we must move on.
Okay. The Christmas, well, we could do, can we skip ahead to, why don't we skip ahead to Hanukkah, Matt? Can we do that?
Yep.
There
okay,
it is.
So this is, and she deleted this from her Instagram.
Oh, no.
For some reason, but Matt did some sleuthing and found it. And the comment is, happy Hanukkah night 5, all candles lit for dramatic effect.
Okay. So
she lit all the candles, and I'm not personally, I'm not Jewish. I was raised
personally, you're not Jewish.
I'm not. I wasn't lucky enough to fall into that category. But I don't know how the candle thing works, but I think you light. I think if you light them all
night.
Yeah, it was very insulting to the Jewish community.
If you light them all too soon, it's 7 years of bad luck. They say.
Well, I think you go to hell.
Hawks will cut. Yeah, you might go to hell. That's bad luck.
And
imagine the bad luck going to hell.
That's the worst luck you can have. I don't know if you've read your Bible, but the worst luck there is out there is...
You know what, Brendan, did you grow up Catholic?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So when I was a kid...
You can see there's some Catholic symbolism in my ink.
Yes, beautiful ink.
Jesus Christ.
When I was in first grade, you know, they teach you to pray like this, you know, with the fingers up. But yeah. I went to Catholic school, but my mom was Protestant. But I was raised Catholic for the most part, but not like a full on like 100% Catholic. And in first grade, I was praying like this.
Yeah.
Right. And the kids at school told me, they said, "You know what you're doing, right? You understand what's going on. You're praying to the devil. You're praying to hell when you pray like this." And I went home crying. I said, and I blamed it on my mother. I said, "Ma, you taught me to pray like this. This whole time I've been praying to the fucking devil."
Yeah.
She says, I don't know what you're talking about. That's stupid. Those kids at school are idiots. They're literally, they're first graders.
Well, and also that could explain your success. You know, I mean, I did the
Robert Johnson deal with the devil.
Bob Dylan, I believe, has a deal with Satan as well. Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, there's one more, but we don't have to, you know,
there's one more. Let's clear it out so we have to come back.
Oh, I'm coming back. Okay, so we have this final one is, and this is, everybody remembers Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yes, notorious RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
And
a lot of people think she was the first female Supreme Court justice. That would be incorrect. That would be, what's her name? Doug?
J. Edgar.
Judge Judy.
Judge Judy.
Judith Scheinling is her, it's her official name.
All right. So there she is sort of doing a RBG workout pose.
Yeah, she actually, there's another photo in that, I don't think we have it, but it's of Ruth Bader Ginsburg working out with a similar shirt and Mindy. And this is, you know, a lot of the ones that we were looking at were all kind of in good fun and lighthearted, but you can tell by the look on Mindy's face, she really...
It's no joke.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a big part of Mindy Kaling's life. And
RBG energy, what does it say?
RBG energy today and always. So she's honoring her hero by, you know, just kind of, she was probably just working out and was like, hey, I should set a timer on my camera and take a photo. Cause you know, maybe it dawned on her like, oh my God, I'm honoring her without even thinking about it.
You know, who I'd like to get on the show is the, Mindy Kaling photographer. There seems to be, who's behind this work. Never gets credit.
That's one of the mysteries is if you go through her timeline, and I invite you at home, it's free. Everybody at home, just go and check out Mindy Kaling's Instagram.
Not before you follow Edgar Winter, folks. Before you follow Edgar Winter.
While you're there following Edgar Winter, Mindy Kaling might even be suggested after you follow him.
Sandra Day O'Connor. Thank you, everybody. Sandra Day O'Connor.
No, that's the guy who played Archie Bunker.
That's Carol O'Connor.
She played Archie Bunker's wife.
Okay. That's Gene Stapleton. See, I know everything.
No, that's the bass player for Kiss. I don't want to get down into this arguing semantics, but check out Mindy. All of her photos are, somebody's taken these and I don't know who it is. And she also, another mystery to try and unlock, she claims to have two children, but she never appears to have ever been pregnant. So,
well, she keeps that private. She keeps that
to
herself.
She keeps it private.
Are you excited for the Super Bowl, Brendan, at all?
What is that? Like a sports ball thing?
I noticed that she's going to be in some Doritos commercials that she's gave a preview of.
Oh, that's right.
They're the 3D Crunch ones.
Is that with Jimmy Kimmel or someone?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting. So, what a cool partnership.
Good reason to tune in.
Yeah, she has a few promoted tweets. And,
I saw one for Walgreens. That was terrific. Yeah. The Walgreens one. I'm surprised you didn't share that one with us. That's a beauty.
We that was in there, but you know, we had to trim things down a little bit. But you know, we can come back. We can check in with her, you know.
I think we should keep a close eye on the Mindy Kaling social media accounts. I enjoy it.
I have Matt's phone number, so I can just, you know, he said I could have a hotline where if a Mindy emergency arises, I can just come right into the show.
Brendan, if you're not busy on the Super Bowl Sunday, why don't you join us for our official watch along of the Super Bowl for patrons only? We'd appreciate having you.
Oh, great. That's awesome. I would love that. And I could maybe even dig up some dirt and talk about some gossip of some of the players during the game.
There you go. Brendan Walsh, thanks for joining us.
All right. See you guys. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Let's take a Zoomer. Let's take a Zoomer now. We are approaching the end of the show, but not really because we started, I believe, 15 minutes late.
Yeah, we got another 17, 18 minutes.
17. Yeah, something 17, like that. We'll go to 11:45 minutes. Over here on the West Coast.
Let's talk to Lily. You got something today? Are you waving me off?
Lily and the Jack of Hearts.
Hi, can I answer the question of the day?
Of course you can answer the question of the day. There's no right answer, by the way, for the question of the day. It's only a personal preference.
So I think the Red Hot Chili Peppers, for me,
The Red Hat Chili Peppers.
I was so into them in high school.
Oh, yeah.
But they're just objectively really bad.
Who's that dude behind you? There's a weird... Am I hallucinating?
Oh, yeah.
Freak. Freakazoid back there.
Hi, I'm a weird guy. I just snuck in. I just snuck into this lady's house. I got my goofy sweater on. I gotta get out of here. It's almost like you've got a video playing and he's the guy in the video, right?
This is my green screen. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be funny to sell like stock footage of people's backgrounds with just weird guys walking through. All right, guy, back off. I don't want to see you right now. Bugging me. You're bumming me out. You're bugging me. Your girlfriend or your sister, whoever she is, she's trying to talk.
Is this okay?
No, get out of there.
Keep him in.
Bonafide moron.
Why don't you fucking talk back? I don't want him in. Have him lie face down on the ground. Go ahead, do what I say, or there'll be real trouble. Get down on the ground, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, dumb son of a bitch.
I'm on the ground.
All right, hands behind your back. All right, so Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I'm with Lily on this one. I loved them in middle school, and then you go back, and man, they stink.
I am proud to say I was never a fan. Not once. Now, can I
had Blood Sugar Sex Magic once, and I gonna.
That's a not a bad song there. That Under the Bridge song. It's when I drew some blood. Roger Daltrey singing that one. It's not the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Well, great answer. Let's keep moving things along. Great answer, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Thank you. I think our audience will relate to that.
Oh, Lily muted herself. Thank you. Very nice.
Apparently, according to many accounts of working with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, it was always very difficult to get a vocal take from Anthony Kiedis. Yeah. He's not a talented singer, yet here he was in a very successful group. And they would have to, like, line by line, you know, get performances from him.
Tim, who's your regret?
I just said Garfield.
Oh, you did.
But, I mean, there's plenty. I would think bands that I no longer... I mean, I went through, I went through kind of a jam rock. I probably liked, in a certain summer... Probably like the Spin Doctors and Counting Crows.
Man, that Spin Doctors record is so good, though.
Is it?
Yeah, the guitar playing on it is awesome. Yeah.
Zabidubidub.
Uh-huh.
What time is it? 4:30?
It's not late.
Yeah.
No, it's just early.
We
should get him on the show, Mr. Spin Doctor. Zabidubidub.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a very active Twitter guy.
Loves his cats.
Have him scat for us.
All right.
John,
who else we got,
Hunter
Matt?
John. Oh.
By the way, we still have to get to Vic's... video.
Oh, yes.
A big update on Edgar Winter. He's currently at 1,117.
Whoa.
We did it. Congrats, guys. Keep going.
And
Mindy Kaling is now at 5.8 million. So
let's short Mindy. Let's short Mindy and have everybody move to Edgar. See if we can make that happen.
Hey, Timbo.
Yo.
I wanted to say, firstly, you're all extremely handsome. And wow, look at this group of men here. This is what I'm talking about.
By the way, folks, we have Frank Oz joining us.
Oh, yeah, thanks for coming on my show.
Hey, so I got a compliment for you, Tim.
Thank you.
You were so, so good in That Dog by Nick Thorburn.
Oh, yes.
That is one of your underrated popcorn classics.
Great short that's available to everybody to watch on YouTube. Everyone me and the great Michael Cera. It
yes, it's so good. You
that's
need to
Nick
go
Thorburn
watch that.
Doing that puppet.
Yeah, right.
Oh, put your hand down. Let me see Nick. Go ahead.
He can't come to the phone right now. Sorry, Timbo.
It's not Nick.
I got to say, that Doug guy back there is so handsome.
Who?
Let's get Doug here. Doug, he's the most handsome man in the whole crew.
Well, let's talk about this for a second because, Matt, you had a funny promo shot for today's show where we had me as Nick Nolte and then Doug as LP
from
the Jewels. And,
wow.
And my friend Matt Sweeney wrote me and said, that's LP. I go, I know. He goes, It's wild. And it really is. Especially that shot that Matt brought up. The similar, it's uncanny. It's, do you see it? You must see it, Doug. You must see the resemblance.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
I have one more thing to say about Doug.
Go ahead.
Okay, Doug, we had beers one time at Zebulon. You are such a nice guy. I just got to say that. You are a nice guy.
Oh, well, thanks. I think it's Nick. Now I for sure.
Now
it's
you're
Nick.
For sure it's
It's
Nick.
Definitely not.
Thank you. Well, we'll
Hunter
talk to
John
later.
Scrotum. Scrotum.
That little unicorn, Nick. We'll get him on here. Maybe with Alden Tenner, too.
I know who it is. This is Nick Flanagan.
Oh my God. It could be.
I'm kidding.
Maybe not. We'll see. Good.
It's definitely some kind of Canadian.
Well, what's your name, puppet?
Well, I've been called a couple of things. We're not really sure on a quite first name yet, but we'll just go with, well, what do you think, Tim? What should I be called?
Blue Bastard.
Blue Bastard. I like it. This is it. Bastard. Hi, everybody. It's me, Blue Bastard. How you doing? Oh, my God. It. You beautiful people here. Thank you. Thank you, Timbo.
All right. Gotta say, we've got to, as a broadcaster, as an interviewer, gotta pay respects to Larry King. Larry King passed the mic to me. He passed the throne. God, those clips of him that got sent around, he was the best. So genuinely disinterested in almost everybody he spoke with. So good. The one of him talking to Jerry Seinfeld, where so you ended the show or was it canceled? Jerry's like, canceled. Jerry, do you know who I am? Like, we were the number one rated show when we left the air. Does someone want to get this guy a resume? You can see Jerry's pissed. Does not find it amusing. What a racket Larry King had, huh? This guy was a Larry King Live, CNN, every night. They just threw guests at him. Don't tell me anything about him. I'll find out when I talk to him.
Tim, I think he might have kind of invented the caller on the radio.
Next caller. I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure that was a thing that was...
He invented it. Now we're doing it. And you're shitting on the king.
I'm paying him due respect. All due respect to the king.
The best was when he's on Rick Rubin, Dave Rubin's show, and he just took a phone call.
Oh, that's
and
the
just
greatest.
Had no interest in what Rubin was saying.
What's the guy's name that he's talking to? Cannon?
I don't know.
Cannon? hold on a sec, Dave. I got something. Hello, Cannon? Yes, son. How you doing?
Yeah.
What?
I think it's his son, yeah.
What did he say? Well, that's good. That's very good. Well, tell him that you should be playing more. You put him in. Okay. Yes. And then it just goes and goes and goes. It's so funny. Dave Rubin's sitting there waiting for things to wrap up. All right. Should we get to... Why don't we get to Lick Lips, the video of the day?
Oh, yeah. Do we have a theme song?
Yeah, you're going to
sure
find
do.
Out where I put it. Hold
now,
on.
Everybody stand by and stand back and stand by. oh, wait. Don't play it. Oh, you're playing the theme song.
This is a theme song. Yeah, you can bring up the still and then I'll start.
All right, so I'm warning you with peace and love. You're about to watch someone. You're going to watch some of Vic's original work. We've been collecting these Lick Lip clips. And we said, Vic, you want to put a little sauce on this? You want to do a little bit of what you do? And he came back, sent us a thing. I'm telling you, I was screaming. My family thought there was something wrong with me. I was screaming. I don't want to oversell it. I also want you to be prepared that you guys are going to lose your shit right now. So hang on to something. And let's take it away with the Ronnie Wood. This is a supersized Ronnie Wood special edition Lick Lips with Ronnie Wood video coming at you right now on Office Hours.
Yeah, you know, Brian Wilson sort of proved himself to be like a really amazing composer.
Yeah.
And I was into chords and harmonies and stuff at that time. And we ended up, it's kind of like a rivalry.
Yeah.
We'd put a song out and Brian would hear it and he'd do one. It's nice, like me and John. You know, you kind of try and top each other all the time. But he eventually came out with this God Only Knows.
That was Pet Sounds, Tom. Right?
On Pet Sounds, ooh. Yeah.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Oh no. All right, there it is. I don't know. Madison Daly doesn't seem to have enjoyed it.
No.
She seems that, or did you not enjoy that, Madison Daly? What the hell? It's, how much what more can we give you? What more can we possibly give you?
I couldn't see the video.
Oh, right there.
I had you pinned. And I couldn't see it. I could
okay.
hear it.
Okay. Well, it's certainly a more of a visual experience to all our listeners. Maybe we'll clip that out, okay, Matt?
Ellen's yucking it up. Ellen, did you see it? Were you watching on YouTube? Okay, let's get a positive review.
Yeah, sorry, Madison, to call you out. I just was focused on you. Incorrectly focused on you. Who would you want to talk to?
I was unmuting Ellen, but maybe she's... Oh, there she is.
Yeah, I loved that.
That was fantastic, Ellen. You're so devious, Vic, because you're scrolling forward and backward over this moment that really is a very insignificant moment.
Right, right.
But then
he does those licks a lot, though. Something's going on there.
I love Ronnie's like fully in some kind of drug or alcohol or rock zone when he's playing, and then that lick starts like something's licking your face, and you kind of snap out of it.
He comes out of it when Nick licks his tongue off his mouth.
Nah. Nah. Hey, we'll own fucking... That's from Saturday Night Live, actually, I think. That clip. We'll own fucking TV, Mick. You fucking lick my lips. What's the matter with you? Fucking stay away.
Only I lick my lips.
Don't lick me anymore. Don't come in my fucking face and lick my lips with your fucking tongue. Your cigarette breath all over my nose.
He got great show. So long too, yeah. until he hey, finally...
Oh, great show, Ronnie. Great. Oh, that was great. This is Keith coming up to Ronnie after the show. Great show, Ronnie. It was fucking great, man. Saturday Night Live, man. Saturday Night Live. Great playing. What's the matter, Ronnie? Fuck off. What's the matter, man? Did you see me? He come up and licked me right in the fucking mouth with his fucking fucking beer breath. He licked me right on the fucking mouth. And they had a fucking close-up on me. And now everyone's laughing at me. It's all right, man. It's rock and roll. It's not fucking rock and roll, man. That's not what I signed up for, Keith. You don't see Rod Stewart fucking licking my face in the fucking faces. I'm out. I'm done. You tell Mick. If he licks me one more time, you're going to get it in the fucking jaw. Oh, you're going to fucking knock him the fuck out.
Everybody just go now.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ronnie, it's me, Mick. I want to apologize, all right? I thought you'd be into it. I thought it was just a nice playful moment with the two of us. But don't do it again. All right. I'm going to do a cartoon that's just all these rock stories of these guys.
Maybe Mick is jealous because he doesn't have a guitar. He can't do licks.
He's, yeah.
Right. So he's like, I'll do me own licks.
I'll do me. I got to get me licks in somehow. Oh, dear. You're sulking over there, Ronnie. What happened? Charlie Watts. You're sulking over there, Ronnie. What happened? You had a bad show? Out of tune?
Couldn't hear yourself in the monitors?
No, fuck off. Mick, lick me again. Lick me right in the fucking nose. His fucking tongue went up me nostril.
Maybe he's trying to get some of that cocaine. He's coming up there like a hummingbird.
Oh, dear. All right. One more Zoomer, and then we will move things over to the After Hours extravaganza. Nobody's going nowhere.
I accidentally cut off Ellen.
Ellen, anything else? What's the thing that you loved but no longer love?
Well, I'll tell you that, and then I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
The thing I loved that I don't know if I no longer love it, but I used to watch this movie called Little Monsters, starring Howie Mandel as this like punk rock teen monster, and I had a huge crush on him, and I thought he was like so hot. And then later,
you thought Howie Mandel was hot.
outside of the like blue monster, punk monster makeup, and it was. Yeah.
Do you want to tell Ellen about your Howie Mandel encounter, Vic?
Oh, yeah. He was at the AFSO studios one time. I don't know if it was before or after Office Hours or something. And I just didn't, you know, I don't meet a lot of celebs, but then I went up to him to shake his hand or whatever. And then he's like, oh, whoa, no. And then I realized he was like this, like, the, you know, does the fist bump thing. Yeah. I'm sure that happens to him a lot, I would assume, but I don't know.
Certainly it was very awkward.
You're right. Yeah.
But what did you say to him then?
Oh, and then I said, thank you, Mr. Mandel, for Little Monsters. I watch it with my kids. Mm. So I thanked him for that. It's a great movie, but it, like, looking back on it, there's some stuff in it that there's no reason for it to be in there. Like, he makes a kid drink his piss. Remember that?
Oh, really?
It's disgusting. Yeah, it's disgusting. Mm. Completely unnecessary to be in there. But at least the kid's the bully, and you know. And it's other thing is where he fills his apple juice jar with piss, and the kid gets it the next day at lunch, and the kid sips it, immediately knows it's piss. It goes, somebody put piss in my apple juice. Like, how does he know that it's piss? Anyway, pointless.
Ellen, what was your question aside from the question of the day?
Well, I'm writing an article about puns and drug culture.
For what? And pun monthly? Punthly?
Wait, puns punthly. And drug culture?
Punthly.
Yeah, the overlap, where the Venn diagram overlap.
Did you guys get that the new issue of Punthly? So who are you writing this for?
I'm writing it for a magazine that I work for called Broccoli, which is about weed.
It's called Broccoli?
Mm-hmm.
And it's about weed?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like High Times as a competitor in the magazine, the periodicals that deal with cannabis.
Yeah, we're a High Times competitor.
Nice. Is it how do you distinguish yourself from the High Times?
Just better.
Just better. Can you send us a free subscription?
Yeah, absolutely. 20.
Matt.
Yeah.
Make sure that happens.
Get in touch. Free subscription.
I'll DM you.
Is it a monthly periodical?
No, 3 times a year.
Okay, that's a weird
smoke
number.
Weed. It's called Broccoli. Is that right?
Broccoli.
What does that refer to? I'm not up on my
drugs.
That's
a slang. That's a slang for weed
for the
weed. Certain rap circles, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Is it? Do you have an online presence?
Well, it's a print magazine. We have an Instagram.
Okay. No website.
Oh, yeah, we have a website too. BroccoliMag.com.
Right. BroccoliMag.com.
Brooklynmag.com.
Okay, so you're right. You've been tasked with, or is this an article you're pitching about
go on
puns?
iTunes and buy it.
I pitched. I'm a pun enthusiast.
Good. Well, then it makes sense that you're a fan of this show.
Absolutely. And I was just listening back to the pandemic episode, and I wanted to just come to the experts and ask you guys to expound a little on the art of punning.
Well. And I don't know if I should say no more, you know? I get no respect for my puns, so I don't know if I'm wanted in this community anymore.
I'm sorry, Doug.
I delivered ruby jewelry on me, and I got crickets, and I think I'm done. It's one other fail, chalk it up to another major failure in my life. Even though ruby jewelry on me is a beautiful thing, it gets no respect here, and I'm going to take my treats and go home. What
my
is it?
Ball.
Take my ball.
I will
and go
say
home.
The fans have brought up ruby jewelry on me many times.
Doug is the best at puns.
They have not brought up any of the winners. Doug's. Doug
interesting. Isn't that interesting?
Doug did is the best stick. At
puns. Doug is the best at
but,
puns.
So you want.
Doug is the best at puns. Doug is the best at puns. Doug is the best at puns.
Is that Rogan?
What is so you're looking for weed weed puns?
I mean, I'll take any weed puns, but I wanted to know if you guys have any deep thoughts about what
like
makes
why is it disrespected
pun.
Too, you know?
Wait, what's the real question? Just general thoughts about puns?
She wants you to write her article for her.
What separates the Ruby Giuliani level quality puns from the real groaners? What makes a good pun?
Well, I don't know anything about that, but I'll tell you what, if you are going to see a Best Picture movie from the past few years, check out Parasite and make sure you do it after smoking a Bong John Ho.
What?
Bong John Ho. Bong Joon Ho.
That's Van Damme gives it a 4.
It's just if it makes you laugh, it's good. If you see it coming, it's not going to work. Yeah. I think it's the most basic, like, easy laugh. I mean, right?
It's not, though. You know, I mean, they're not all good.
Well, you know, the one thing I always say is if you're going to go away for a while and you plan to play soccer or anything like that, what I suggest is you pack a bowl. Pack a bowl. Pack a bowl. A bowl.
My husband's right, Doug? Over here.
You enjoy that? Wait, who's that over there? Mikey? Is that Mikey Campman over there?
Is he?
Mikey, get over here.
What's up, guys?
Oh. What the heck's going on with that hair?
Yeah.
How what are you, Darren Dalton?
It's Yahoo Serious.
Mia Mayo. All right. It is 11:50. We have to wrap things up right now. Thank you so much for listening to Office Hours Live. One more time, couple things to get through real quick. First of all, the After Hours begins any minute now over in the patreon.com/officehourslive. That'll be starting on, will be no technical difficulties there, we hope. This Sunday, join me, Greg Turkington, Eric Natornicola, and our producer, Andrew Porter. I was going to say
Portner.
Portner. For